Join me at Revolution Radio, Studio B, at 11 a.m. on Saturday for Free Association, when we take a look at philosophy, spirituality, psychology, social issues, and geopolitics. It's every Saturday at 11 a.m. Eastern on Studio B at freedomslips.com.
We work for a highly funded yet unofficial government agency.
An intelligence organization that fears intelligence historically, not awesome.
The United States is a democratic nation. Here the people rule. We build no walls to keep them in, nor organize any system of police to keep them mute.
Freedom isn't free at all, but it comes with the highest of costs.
We have you, the listeners, and the hosts at
Revolution Radio. Radio. Radio.
For allowing us to bring you a platform of free speech.
Screen and simply say, I'm one of the 1,000. I'm going to faith in somehow in 90 days a $1,000 seed. You may already have the 1,000. It may be something you put aside for retirement or a college or a vacation. You may have put some money aside that nobody knows about, and God's given you a picture. It may be in the bottom of your closet, maybe in a sock, maybe between your mattresses. It may be an account that nobody knows about, but you and God. That's not your harvest. That $1,000 won't get you anywhere until God touches it. Everything.
In fact, I have a feeling that somebody watching me right now, I have a feeling that somebody that wants a credit card debt wiped out, that if you'll use your faith as you sow the $1,000 on a credit card, as you use your faith, as you use your faith, God's going to wipe out your credit card indebtedness. It is done. In Jesus'
name. If I'm hungry, I fold 30 in the morning. Pink Dot will deliver. And I'm oh so tired. You pushing that thorny crown down onto my head so hard. My knees are 2 inches in the ground, honey. And I said, God damn, God damn that Bible.
Here, ladies and gentlemen, live from the broken down, low rent, sleazy, double greasy pirate radio Nut Hut studios, it's time for the very first ever Southern.
It's Friday night. Somehow, some way you found it, ladies and gentlemen. Into the Microcosm is on the air. We got a good one planned for you tonight, boy. Woo-hoo!
I'm here.
Why? By the skin of your chinny chin chin. You barely made it. Hey, wasn't that a character on Y5O? Chin?
Yeah, I believe so, actually, yeah.
Chin was the subtle, overweight Hawaiian dude.
He started that the Chinese restaurant, P.F. Chin's.
Did he? P.F. Chang?
No, Chin's. That was a joke.
A good one, man. Good one. You caught me off guard with your funny attitude, and I like it because there's not much to laugh about these days. I mean, you can laugh about the stupidity, I think, of it all, but I mean, there was literally people were literally saying that people were going to walk around like zombies because the graphene was.
Yeah, I saw that. I was cracking up on that. Yeah, that's hilarious.
It's going to activate the graphene, man. Watch
yeah, it's going to activate the graphene. Watch out for the water and all that stuff. It's the same dude. It's Stu Peters guy, man. What? How's that guy even on? I don't get it, dude.
I don't know.
I don't get it.
It doesn't matter. But, I mean, the point is, you know, where does the line, you know, in the sand? I mean, where does information end and entertainment begin? I think that's the biggest question on everyone's mind most of the time.
Believe because in reality, right?
The reality of the situation is entertaining, is so entertaining that constantly the biggest bell you hear ringing, I can say it right now, the bell that you hear ringing across the land, okay, is all the same. Why? I don't know. But that's just the way it is. Isn't that what, who used to say that, Walter Cronkite? That's the way it is. I don't know.
Yep, I believe so.
Maybe Rock and Rio.
Or was it real? Yeah.
He might know. The evidence is overwhelming. Rock and Rio. Are you making barbecue man corn out of the zombie corpses from the other day? Did you pull out your pull out your jammy and flat blast everybody in the yard? Thought they were zombies. It was just the gardener. He was a little drunk.
Yeah. The zombie apocalypse is happening now, Jimmy.
Yeah.
It has officially started, right?
It's all around us.
Get your Nerf guns, people.
If you want to live, follow me.
Can't go on, life is too long. This time you've gone too far. This time you've gone too far.
From the Talamanca Mountains.
You've gone too far. I told you, I told you.
Goes Too Far, Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. Pacific on the Independent Broadcast Network. His name is like Bruce McDonald. Bruce.
Present. Accounted for.
Ready
to rock and roll.
He's ready.
Locked and loaded.
You're cocked, locked, and ready to rock? Is that what you're trying to say?
I'm in position, Commander.
Nice. Well, let me just say, you know, we were listening to this song, and Rio and I earlier, I mean, okay, I'm just want to keep it light for a minute, but so all my life, you know, I've been hearing this song by this band, Electric Light Orchestra. And the whole time I've been hearing it, I thought it said, "Don't bring me down, Bruce." But it turns out he doesn't say Bruce. He says, what does he say, Rio? Groose?
Bruce, yes.
Groose. So here, let me just bust this cut real quick. Here, check it out. What do you guys think he's saying? Here you go. Sounds like Bruce to me, but I don't know. You decide.
Jeff Lynne has confirmed it is Groose. It's a made-up word.
I know.
According to him, but...
Yeah.
It actually is a Greek word, according to others. Yes, it means ribosome.
Ribosomes. Well, interesting. Yeah. Well, I don't know about all that, but what I do know is things are heating up, man, everywhere you look. Just about, and one of the things that it's not a sexy subject or whatever. It's not as sexy as activating the graphene in the 5G, you know, frequency zone. I know that's more the zombie zone. I get it, man. I see that's more entertaining than.
Am I picking up the vibe that you guys don't think that's the case? I'm losing my ability to intuit what's going on into the micro. Are you being sarcastic when you say they're going to activate the graphene? Are you saying Are you saying that mockingly or?
There's
I don't know.
Syrup all over it. Put it that way. You just say. But I mean, okay. You were saying earlier about the syrup, but I mean, I don't want to go down that road. But what I'm saying is. There's lots of stuff going on. Like, for example, the shrinking money supply. Most people don't really even know what that means, Bruce. Can you explain to people what it means when a central bank brings in the money, takes it out of the system? Can you explain to people? Because, I mean, you have a background, you know, in
financial. Well, yeah, traditional finance is fairly well understood by me. So a contracting money supply, it's not that they're actually going into the market and taking money out. They're not issuing new money in the form of loans. So it's like a liquidity freeze. Now, I'd say, I don't know what percentage, I'd even say off the top of my head, I'd say 50% of industry requires liquidity. So even a big company like Chrysler or General Motors, they do 30-day loans all the time with big banks. They borrow $800 million and they pay it back in 30 or 45 days. There's all these short-term loans, and it's part of the absolute precision of running a business, and it's all predicated on liquidity. So this was the big scare in 2007, 2008 with the subprime mortgage devaluation of those bonds, and if you go back, I forget who it was. Was it Volcker who was running Treasury back then? Or I can't – Volcker, I can't remember. But or Paulson, he used to be a Goldman Sachs guy. And they hot-mic'd him talking to senators and congressmen, and he was talking chaos on the streets, right?
Yeah.
So they're going to – I mean, they're doing this every 12 years now. I mean, and they're just fleecing us.
Well,
really, is what's going on.
Though, it's in particular – it's in and of itself bad. Because if you look back to whenever this happened before, there's major catastrophes in America around it that happened.
Oh, yeah.
So,
a lot of people died 2007, 2008, Jimmy. Suicides, overdoses, like prescription overdoses, middle class people. Nobody ever comes out with the stats. No university is commissioned to investigate, but a lot of people die. They get, you know, sudden change in financial fortune affects certain people who've invested very badly.
Look at this perfect storm that you got going on right now. You got super high inflation. I'm just talking about, I'm in California, so let's talk California. Super high inflation. Gas is hovering just under $6 if you drive around and find a place. But most places, $6 and over. And then it's diesel is super high price. So you have this going on with fuel, the cost of moving goods from here to there on these trucks, what it costs. You have all this stuff going on. You have a supply chain breakdown with certain food companies going out of business, all these things, all these manufacturing plants, these food manufacturing, everything's seems to be being narrowed down to where everybody's going to be wearing gray jumpsuits, shopping at the one Walmart that's like an old mall where you have all the different shit in there within 15 minutes of your house because you ain't going to be able to afford to put gas in your car to go anywhere. It's not that you're not going to be free to go anywhere. It's just that you won't be able to afford. Listen, how can you afford that gas price and drive back and forth to some job that you're making like $26 an hour over in San Jose where you're commuting every day, driving somewhere 100 miles a day back and forth? You know what I'm saying? So how do you afford that? And then you're going over there. Now you got to – I mean, it's just – I don't – and people have been doing it with their credit cards because there's no way you can survive under these intense conditions with this inflation that's been going on. And the thing is even if you say and you go in there and you figure out a way to cipher it down and say inflation has gone down, well, inflation gone down, but prices stay up. See, they're not going to lower their prices when they find a sucker that's willing to pay $28 for 4 tacos and 2 Cokes. Why would they go back to charging $12? You know what I mean? They're going to stick every last pig that walks in the door. Go ahead.
Well, the theory of a competitive market is as the cost of supply goes down to produce the tacos, and if that guy stays at $28, somebody will move in 2 blocks away and come in at $24, right? Generally, the principle of the free market is it will arrive at a point where it's the best value for the best price. But it only works if there's sufficient competition. And what's happened slowly over the last couple decades is a handful of corporations with a bunch of sub-entities have taken over everything.
That's what I mean.
And that's why it's not really a free market anymore.
You know, it's hard to find a regular burger joint with mom and pop in there flipping burgers with Junior, you know, bussing the tables or whatever. You know, a good greasy cheeseburger. Nah, man, you're going to get some... I mean, it's like Idiocracy, you know. I mean, you go to McDonald's and you're getting some. You're going to one of these fast food places and you're getting some. But it's almost like it's like a microwave produced meal that pops out of the kiosk where there's no people working there. It's just stacked with a bunch of frozen hamburgers that, you know, when you order it, it pops into a microwave and then spits it out in your hand, you know, after you scan your eyeball in there to get your scan every journeyman. So, did you take a look at the article about the bonds, the bond market in America, the 10-year bond, the yield?
Yeah, I did actually. We were at the best we've been since 2007, right before the crash. Actually,
interesting.
4.7%, 4.78%, something like that. The best was in the tracking back to 1994 was like 7.5%. So 7.5% back then. So it's come down since then, but it went way down, came back up in 2007, then crashed hard in August of 2020, like down to next to nothing. Mm-hmm. And that was mostly due to the pandemic, right? And then
do you let me ask you a question now? Do you own any bonds yourself? Because I know you're in the military. I mean, a lot of
No, it's just part of my 401k portfolio. I actually mostly invested in that. Actually, the most stable things, because I lost like 38,000 overnight in that stupid 2008 crash. Right, I think more than that actually.
So, isn't that the, isn't the impression for most people when you buy bonds? That's like solid money. Nothing to worry about with that.
Well,
that's,
it's that's lower risk. Oh, it's not really solid. Yeah.
Go ahead. It's so when you're managing secure funds, like let's say Social Security in the United States or the Canada Pension Plan in Canada, which is a government regulated pension fund, there is much more restriction on what they can invest in. And those pension funds are heavily invested in bonds. So if you wanted to be really cynical, you could say that this is the U.S. government, the Treasury, and the Fed ripping off the American pensions. And hey, I know this isn't a moment to shine, but I've been saying that they're going to go after this money for 3-4 years.
Yeah,
and they're doing it.
You have been, because how much did you say that the boomers had in the bank? How many trillions?
Well, Bernie Sanders spilled the number, and it's got to be more now because it earns interest, right? But in 2016, when pressed to answer the question how he was going to pay for all his programs, he said inheritance tax, and he said that the boomers had $67 trillion in their 401ks and retirement funds. $67 trillion. They're going after that money.
They're going after it.
Meaning that when the people is going to be able to pass it on, right, to their kids or whatever. That's the inheritance tax you're talking about, right? Yeah.
There's a lot of people, people don't realize this, but there's a lot of people that are going to die that have no relatives at all. They own homes.
Forgot to check a box, yeah.
No, I'm just saying they're sitting there and they're in their houses or whatever, and they own their house, they don't have any relatives.
Another thing, Jimmy, nobody lives like the white men. We're all spread out. We all need our own apartments, our own condos. Indians, Chinese, everybody else lives 10 to a house. They save money. They're prepared for any kind of an emergency. The white man bought into this lifestyle dream, which you guys have so perfectly articulated in your decade-by-decade marketing scam that has been America. And a lot of those families can't come back together, so they're so dysfunctional. So there's no unity in the Caucasian middle class race in Britain, in America, Canada, Australia, New Zealand.
There's nobody that's the thing about white people. White people don't have anything to blame anything on. It's like if you F up in life, you're just a loser. You can't blame it on some shit. Like I mean, were you discriminated against or whatever? You mean you had all the advantages and you didn't make it? There's no excuse for you. You're just a loser.
I'm hearing Randy Newman. What people got no reason.
But listen, so Rio and I were talking about some stuff earlier. Kind of what we're going to be talking about here in a bit, right now. So I was bringing this up, and I was having a conversation with a friend of mine about it also. And so the idea that everything's okay today and everything's going to be okay tomorrow when you go to the bank, when you go there to pull out a 20, you just be able to go in there, take your 20 out, and go do whatever you're going to do. But the thing is if the kind of crash – that the alternative media has been talking about literally for 30 years. They've been selling gold and silver for 30 years. And people have made a lot of money by buying gold when someone told them to. You know what I mean? So I'm not saying that it was bad that they talked about it, but I'm just saying overall, long term, the crashes that they were talking about happening were never really going to happen. They never happened. They kind of happen here and there. It's kind of smallish, but never the full on crashing, you know, death spiral where people are standing in line by the hundreds trying to get a bowl of soup, piece of bread, you know. But you don't see the lines anymore because the people that are in trouble are using plastic. Just going in there and they're buying their groceries and no one's ever the wiser. It's not like before when people had to whip out these food stamps, you know, this paper money, the script from the company store that works over at the store. I mean, it's not real money, you know. Well, it's money if you take it to certain places. They'll give you so many cents on the dollar is how it used to be. You could take a food stamp to a certain liquor store or a certain store. Down in Los
Angeles.
It's
like a fencing operation, yeah.
Yeah, it's a fencing operation. So they buy it off you for 75 cents, and then they use it and buy a dollar's worth of food with it, see? So, you know, keep making money off people. They just come in there cashing their food stamps in back when there's no plastic. So they got rid of that just to eliminate some of that noise that was going on there. But it went to plastic, right? So everybody's got plastic. So now, what's it like to live on universal income? What it's like is to work full-time for 2 weeks and wait for your check and then get it and not have enough money to pay your bills. That's what it's like on universal income. It's never going to be enough for you to do what you need to do. So it's definitely not going to be enough for you to pay $6.75 a gallon for diesel, especially if you got one of those big old badass Ram diesel trucks or whatever. You know,
there's different ideas.
But you won't have to worry about paying $6 a pound for your steak because there's the new synthetic stuff has been approved now too this week.
That's a whole other story. Yeah, that's. Yeah.
What are you going to eat? You go to the store and listen. What happens is this: the banks close. Nobody can get cash. Nobody can get money. No way to buy anything at the store with your credit card. The only way that you're going to be able to buy food is to go to your local post office, scan your eyeball, give your thumbprint, and get your new ID card that you'll be able to utilize at the nearest government center where the food will be available to you. But it's not going to be the choices that you used to have. Might be that all the generic shit that's yellow that just says what it is, potato chips. Remember all that shit? Remember that?
You know, it'll be your COV
peanut
ID card.
Right. Well, so isn't it like, isn't the digital money created, isn't the value of the money created when it's spent into existence? So when you first start out, it's not worth shit. But then eventually people believe in it, and then it starts to gain popularity and it starts to go up in value.
Yeah, belief. Belief is the currency. Exactly. It literally is. That's how, and the movement of that currency is what makes it more valuable. If it stands stagnant still, then there's no value to it. It's only when it moves and more people believe in it and use it.
Right. So as people believe in it and start using it, then more people start accepting it like stores. So let's say you're the government. You could just go on the back end with all these corporations. You just call a meeting where just all the heads and the main people of all these corporations just show up. And you just go, look, Bob, here's how it's going to be. You know, we're going to start giving people these cards, and they're going to have CDBCs on them. It's going to be our new currency. It's going to be all digital currency. It has no money associated with it. And you're going to accept it at your store. And what we'll do is we'll subsidize you for the profits that you used to make by putting this together here with us today. And, you know, you're either with us or against us is what they'll be saying. Rock and roll, right? So
Yeah.
I was saying to you, off the cuff, I was saying, well, listen, man, and I'm not giving financial advice, ladies and gentlemen, but I'm just saying real off the cuff, I was saying, you know what, dude, it's going to be XRP. That's because I said to him, the first thing Rio says to me is that it's over, dude, or whatever, you know, they voted it down, no CDBC. So what was that all about, Rio? The voting it down, because there was a vote.
Well, Congress decided not to go with the global version of the central bank digital currency, right?
Okay.
Decided that there's going to be an alternative that they're going to take, and it's compatible with the CDBC.
There you go. So
I can never get it right, but
So it's not that they got rid of the idea. It's just that their idea is clunky and old fashioned. And
yeah, it's not blockchain. That one's not blockchain. It was the
XRP has the fastest transfer rate between transactions. It's got the, it's like 0.007 seconds. And then some of these other coins and the transactions are clunky and they take a long time. So it was clear back 2 years ago when we started talking about this XRP. Because we're not crypto people. I asked Dr. Rowe to come on, and he may, just to pop in about this XRP thing. But we just wanted to bring it to your attention. Like we said, we're not giving you financial advice. So, Rio, I was talking to you about this XRP thing in relation to what you were saying about that thing getting voted down. And then you told me that there was a Biden statement, XRP is the new dollar. Tell everybody about that.
Yeah.
I got the video here. So go ahead.
Oh, yeah. You should just roll the video then. Because,
all right, let's do that.
You know, Biden brought it up and he was talking about it and he mentioned that this is the way he's going to go.
All right.
You know, cause, I think last year, right, they signed it. It's supposed to take effect February, upcoming February.
All right, here we go.
Digital currency known as the CBDC on the XRP ledger.
That's super low volume.
The company and
a super low volume, man. I can't hear that. You want to try to play that reel? Maybe you can crank it up because I can't make it any louder for anybody. See if you can crank that up. It's in the Microcosmos Revolution Radio, fully listener supported. Come on down and become a supporter. We're on Patreon. Just step on up there and become a supporter. Home free speech, 48 hours a day, 7 days a week. Studio A, Studio B. Hey, want to say hey, what's up to freeworld.fm? It's the independent broadcast network. My name's Jimmy, and this is in the Microcosm. We're here with Bruce McDonald, Epic Journeyman, Rockin' Rio. Rockin' Rio is getting the video together with the XRP statement from Biden now. So, yesterday or today earlier, what we did is we went and took a look at XRP, and it looked like it to be trading at about 52 cents. It looked like it, I think what I saw was that it had gone up overnight something like 30 some odd percent. Rock and Rio, was that the percent?
Yeah, it was a pretty big jump. I mean, when you're talking pennies, it's not a lot, but it moved significantly.
Mm-hmm. And when the president of the United States makes a statement like it's going to be worth $10,000, you think people are jumping on it? Do you think it's being broadcast all over every Fox News channel so all the people can enjoy a ride up with some crypto, you know, like people did back in the day? And it's like buying Bitcoin at 50 cents, right? Ride up a tournament. It's like getting Bitcoin for 50 cents.
Yeah, I could have back in the day. Well, a dollar, actually. A dollar or something. Yep.
XRP, man, it's 52 cents. Rock and Rio, is it 52 cents? I think it, yeah. I'm gonna look.
It was 52.5 or something.
Yeah. All right, you got that video together?
Yes, I do.
All right, crank it up, man. Make it loud.
Here we go.
Make me proud. Go ahead.
Coming. Hang on. It's coming.
I hear nothing.
In the interim, I will just point out that Hillary Clinton said on CNN that the United States may need a formal deprogramming system for MAGA supporters.
Is that right?
Well, she did. She did. They call that re-education in the communist China, Jimmy.
Yeah.
The look in her eyes, man, was spooked me, man. I mean, she looked so soulless when she said it, man. I mean, look, nobody likes that woman. That's a fact. Whether you believe in one side of the political side or the other, which nobody really should, everybody should agree. That woman is, no, man. Don't
we
trust came, that woman.
We saw, yeah. He died.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. All right, I got it together here.
All right, good.
The BRICS nations officially revealed their plan to build a global central bank digital currency known as the CBDC on the XRP ledger alongside Ripple Labs, the company, and another worldwide global CBDC project known as Project Mariana being built with the International Bank of Settlements, the Bank of France, and the Monetary Authority of Singapore, all with the purpose of using the Ripple Knot system, which uses the XRP ledger. The United States of America has personally invited Ripple to build their CBDC on the XRPL. Or at least that's what many have been speculating, specifically as Ripple basically received a personal invite indirectly by Joe Biden, causing multiple analysts to believe XRP is about to surge to over $10,000, making less than 100 XRP the needed amount of XRP to become a multi-millionaire. But that's...
Oh, yeah.
So there it is again, man. And, you know, I mean, so for me, I was there when Bitcoin was being introduced. I was there when it was pennies, okay? And I ignored it, all right? I thought it was something fishy with it. I didn't think it was going to happen, and I was wrong. And let me tell you something. That was the only bit of information I've ever gotten out of the alternative media that did me some good. Was I found out about Bitcoin, but the thing was, is like, in order, when you get some good information, you know, you got to do something with it. You can't just get it, you know, and absorb it and then not do anything with it, you know. So I didn't invest in Bitcoin. There's lots of people that did, and lots of people got rich off of that. Not that getting rich is necessarily a big goal of mine, but I at least want to make enough money where I can afford tacos, even if they're $28.
We don't have to ask. Yeah, if you afford these tacos, if you have to ask, you know.
It's the new going rate. Everything's a dollar, man.
You're right. It is.
I just went and bought a six pack of socks. You know? It was $6.99. You know, dollar a sock. And however much, you know, that divides out in tax.
If you're a billionaire, everything's literally free. That you cannot spend enough normal as a normal human being without buying an aircraft carrier or something or an island, right? To ever spend enough money to lose money.
The thing
so pretty is, much everything's free.
If you have money, you don't have a concept of people that can't afford to do their thing. To you, everything right now is fine. You're making enough money.
Yeah, the interest is always going to pay for your lifestyle.
Yeah.
That's foolish. I mean, get foolish and buy a $1 billion yacht. You know, like
they're
some guy.
The average car payment in America now is $1,000 a month.
Insanity.
So Bruce is saying they're shrinking the money supply. So in the short-term loans. So the reason that's important is because you got to look at car dealerships because they do all these short-term loans. So they have stock. And they have to take short-term loans and keep that stock on the lot and be able to sell those cars.
Yep. And if they don't sell, the banks are constantly taking money in the form of mortgage payments, right? So the cycle is the banks take money in and then they push new money out with new loans, and this is what we call liquidity or the circular nature of the capital system. Mm-hmm. So when you actually say they're taking money out of the economy, technically you're correct. Right, because the money is still going into the banks. We need a jubilee. It's the only thing that makes any sense. We need a jubilee. We hit the 40-year mark at the fiat note like in 2012.
There's going to be a jubilee, but it's not going to be the one where everybody's drinking wine and eating grapes, you know, feeding each other grapes and they're having a good time.
Actually, this year is the 50th jubilee.
The jubilee is going to be nobody's going to have any money. Your debt's going to be wiped out because there's not going to be anywhere to pay a debt to because there's going to be wiped out. Right? From the ashes rise the phoenix, right? And, you know, from the chaos comes the solution. You know, that's the way it works, isn't it? So, the ultimate confusion and what's going on now, they're whipping up the idea of civil war. They're pointing fingers. I think it was Newsweek. I checked this up. One of you guys that can. Newsweek cover talking about the big threat coming up of civil war if the election doesn't go a certain way or doesn't arrive at the kind of at the viewpoint that people think it should because they think something happened.
So it's a graphically stylized photo of the Jan 6 from the steps of the Capitol looking down. Mm-hmm. That's the picture. So, yeah, there's an origin story to it. I read the article. The article is poorly named, mm-hmm. actually. It really is. The content's not bad when you read it, but as far as like being a readable article and having some points to make, but the title was terrible.
could have been written by an AI. I mean, they're not really that.
Well, it might have been. Yeah,
their titles aren't that snappy yet, but they'll get the hang of it. Don't worry. Don't worry. So, I don't know what's going to happen with XRP, if that's going to be the worldwide ledger. And if it is, I don't know that it's going to go to 10,000. I mean, would there be some holding point with XRP? That's what I was kind of questions I was going to ask Dr. Rowe was, is there some certain amount that it'll stop at no matter how many people buy into it? I mean, does it keep going up and up and up in value by the amount of people that buy it? Like it's created when you buy into it? Go ahead.
There are profound systemic problems with crypto as it exists in the private sector now becoming a part of the public monetary issuance, okay? First of all, the value of crypto goes up the more people who buy it, okay? That's not the case with fiat money. It basically maintains its value no matter how much is in issuance, except with the case of overproduction of money or oversupply of money, you get inflation.
Right.
So, like, I just don't see this. I know you guys are big on this idea. See, central bank digital currencies are coming in, but
wouldn't you say that the money supply has been over pumped for the last 4 or 5 years?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the look on Trump's face when he signed that bill for $7 trillion.
Yeah.
And he handed the pen. You know, they hand out Mont Blancs. I was telling Rio earlier, they hand out Mont Blancs, you know, when the president signs something. They have a box of these $300 pens, these Mont Blancs, and they hand it to each guy that was there when it was signed. And when he signed that thing, he handed it back to Mitch McConnell, and Mitch McConnell kind of gave it the stink eye at first. Like, he didn't even want it. He didn't even want the pen. You know, so I don't know what's been going on and because we've seen such blatant looting and corruption right in our face. It's like they're taking a big blowing a Louis in our face. Bruce, they're stealing. They're walking out with the candlesticks. There's stuff in their pockets. There's money falling on the floor. They're finding coke up in the White House. In the White House. I mean, it's literally
1976.
And
it's gone. Did you see the reports coming out of India? They're saying that Trudeau's plane at the G20 summit was loaded with cocaine. And I don't think they're lying.
I mean,
he was high. They're all coked up. Hunter.
I just want to hear the Hindu voice say his plane was loaded with cocaine. I'm not going to do it because it'd be disrespectful. Just put that in your head. Right?
They're all doing blow, man. They're all doing blow, allegedly. Zelensky's doing it. Everybody's doing it. Only people that ain't doing it is us little people down here. We're just trying to afford a bag of potato chips and some low-fat milk. Try to survive one more
day. Brand.
Try to survive one more day here.
Do you think? I mean, like,
high end mark.
Land of the fee, home of the slave. Would you say, Evan German?
I was going to interrupt there. I was just saying the CBDC thing, the central bank digital currency. So how is that different than spending money from your ATM machine to pay your bills online? How is it different from using the SWIFT system? How is it different? Because for the average consumer, there is no difference, right? I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like the person using
SWIFT
it, they don't understand
system,
the concept.
The
I mean, we're talking about it.
The SWIFT system stopped being working with Russia.
Absolutely.
So the new system is the BRIC system. That's the system that's taken over the world. And so in order to partake in that, the United States of America, according to this information we're bringing to the table here, has decided they're going to use Ripple and they're going to use XRP for the ledger in order to do transactions with the BRICS.
So how many countries actually use a central bank digital currency right now? Isn't it just Estonia? It's just Estonia, right?
No.
Or it has more come on board.
I had a video.
It's Guardia, maybe.
I had a video of a woman in Africa getting some water in a dirty milk gallon plastic jug, and she had to give her CDBC scan to get the water to come out in the middle of nowhere.
Well, now, see, that's what I think this is leaning towards. Like Bitcoin, when you get down to it, is based on energy consumption, which is a dream of technocracy, right? So basically the amount of energy it takes to calculate the, Bruce, the number crunching to create the Bitcoin.
Bruce is not a believer of this. He doesn't think that there's going to be a digital world where it's just all – there's no paper money. And well, I would say
– you better hope it doesn't happen.
Well, I hope it doesn't happen. Why. I totally –
How are all the homeless drug addicts going to get their fix? Do you want to get knifed? Are they going to give out special cards for the homeless? So how look, what percentage of the U.S. economy do you think is legal? Yeah, so they're going to legalize. It's more than just creating a CBDC. We're talking about like legalizing all drugs, everything, because you can't cut these people off.
Oh, they'll cut them off, or they'll say, "Don't worry, don't worry. We have a re-education camp for you right over here. It's going to also teach you, to understand what we want here in America. Just come on over here, Bruce. Let me scan that eyeball. Let me get that thumbprint. Get your new ID, and here's your gray jumpsuit. And go down and get some cheese, some government cheese, and some powdered milk, and some Kool-Aid, and learn what it's like to live on welfare." Because that's what it's like. And people don't realize it. You know, people want to be thugs, want to live in the hood and all that shit. Well, that's what that's like. You know, when you don't have money and you got to live on that government dole, you can't just go down and just get whatever you want anymore, $5 lattes or whatever. People just going around buying $5 lattes, filling their tank for $6 a gallon. What are they doing? How much money do you got to make? You got to be making $60 an hour to survive in this world and throw your money around like that. And if you're not, you're filling up your credit card with shit. And then eventually the limit stops and you can't use it anymore. All of a sudden, everybody's going, what am I going to do? What are we going to do, Bruce? I can't use my card. What am I going to do? You know, well, you're going to go down and get that government card from your local county. There's going to be food stamps. And those food stamps dollars, those are CDBCs.
Yeah, but UBI won't be that. Yeah. UBI is going to be a set in the floor. I mean, it's going to be what it costs to house a person in prison for a year. It's going to be $39,000 a year. It's going to replace Social Security. It's going to replace unemployment insurance. It's going to replace all that stuff. It's going to set the floor. Mm-hmm. You know, so I mean, that's the idea. Now, will that stay that way? Of course not. But the idea is that if you want to have the government cheese and live in the rest stops or whatever, because you can, you know, I mean, they'll make, human welfare a right. Essentially, you'll have a right to shelter and a right to, it may not be a great shelter, but it's a right to shelter.
I don't honestly think a bunch of stuff is just going to be your right. I think there's going to be a price to pay. In other words,
but it'll say it's right. You're right. I mean,
you're not going to be homeless. You're not going to be homeless on the street because there's too many people that are homeless on the street.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
There's going to be a method of intake of all these people into some sort of structured system.
So you'll be in the the cubicle farm, not cubicle farm, the Japanese cells, you know, living in your little tiny TV with a universal shared bathroom and kitchen and all that stuff. But you'll be housed and clothed. You'll have health care, and you'll have a base income, right? And that's if you choose to live that way, you can. If you want to buy that PlayStation, you're going to have to go work. If you want to buy that car, you're going to have to go work. If you're going to do whatever else that achieves something better, you're going to have to work. And if people still try to work the system using prostitution or whatever, but if the prostitution becomes free, these are the things people don't think about. That's the thing. If you start thinking about
another one, prostitution.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's probably 5 or 7% of every dollar spent in the United States.
Let me.
The gray economy is 1/3 of the world economy. Great, it's off the books.
Yeah,
yeah.
Let me ask you.
And don't even get me started on the Chinese, man. It was right in the Lonely Planet guide in like 1992 when I went to Taiwan. They say 60% of the economy is black market in Taiwan in 1992.
Are you living on a mountain in Costa Rica, dude? You don't think you don't think hookers have phones? Would that take credit cards?
OnlyFans.
Yeah, but it's the trail, Jimmy. Nobody wants a record of that shit.
Well, that's
ask Trudeau.
That's too bad, because in the future everybody's going to know everything about it. Everybody. There's not going to be any more privacy. That privacy is gone, man. It's been gone since 9/11. There's no privacy.
When you're in public, so you're on somebody's camera. Go ahead.
In the 2032 U.S. election, we'll have candidates in the debates screaming that the other candidate revealed their CBDC ledger so everybody can know what they spend their money on?
Well, here's the thing. Did you hear Tom Hanks crying like a little baby? Yeah, he was crying because the AI made a representation of him selling some dental plan that he didn't have anything to do with. And this is exactly the kind of shit that's going to cause people to call for this positive identification, to cause for some sort of check mark next to your name to prove it's you. Go ahead.
Yeah, you know what? I've really soured on these Hollywood types. You know, Bill Maher goes out and starts this podcast. I forget what it's called. I don't know. Maybe you guys. He does it in a basement room in his house. It's a cool room. Pinball machines and everything.
Oh, yeah, it's great. The Indian cigar guy and all stuff. Yeah.
But I'm like, he independently or through his agent, he's going out and getting sponsors and shilling through the podcast. And I'm going, dude, you don't make enough at HBO. You don't make enough at your stand-up comedy. You can't just leave the podcast market to, you know what I mean? They're so fucking greedy. Like, it's unbelievable.
They're sitting in a room and someone's going to them, Bill, you got it. You don't have a podcast?
It's like a band guy going solo.
What's the matter with you, man? You know? Look at Joe Rogan. Look at Joe Rogan.
He actually had to fight to get it. HBO didn't want to. In his contract, he wasn't allowed to do it. And he kept fighting with them, and he got the right to do it.
Meanwhile, we're over here telling you
what's
actually going on, and we're not getting a penny. Because the station's fully listener-supported. We volunteer our time. We show up every Friday night, 9 o'clock Pacific right here to drop the information. And, you know, we don't tell you what to think. We're not like a bombastic fool yelling, screaming at you with their opinions, trying to drive you like an animal into the pen of their opinion. No, we don't ask that. We just ask that you think. That's it. We don't tell you what to think. You know, and the other thing I just want to point out before we go out here on the break is, you know what, man? If you don't know what your rights are, guess what? You don't have any. So know your rights, ladies and gentlemen. Do you have rights in America anymore? And, you know, are your rights have now become privileges that some bureaucrat in an unelected position decides what's going to go on with your life? There's some dude over there in some room over in Europe telling you you're not going to own cars anymore. You're not going to own anything, and you're going to love it. You know, you're just going to get this card, and you're going to use that thing for everything. One card, one people, one world. Remember that shit?
Yeah, I think you said a cool term. I don't know if you are making it up on the spot or heard that before. The pen of your opinion. Hurting you into the pen of your opinion. Yeah. That's pretty good.
That came off the top of my head.
That's a good one.
It's Into the Microcosm. We're going to be right back. So much to talk about, so little time. It's the Independent Broadcast Network. It's freeworld.fm. It's revolution.radio. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Okay.
man, when this song used to come on, the dance floor would get packed, Jack.
Sitting at home watching Arsenio Hall. I got my black book for a free to call.
Remember that jam? Robert Rio.
Without warning, not having appetite for love. Cause me so horny. Girls always ask me why a buck so much.
I bring you a message. A message few of you will be able to believe. A message of great importance. A message I alone was able to read in the fires of the universe. But be not afraid, my friends. I also bring you the means with which to save yourselves. I will tell you tonight. Remember.
Recognize me. It's bring your favorite friend. President. And I'm standing in front of the Oval Office at the White House, which is always an exciting place to be. I got back a day ago from Walter Reed Medical Center. I spent 4 days there. I think this was a blessing from God that I caught it. This was a blessing in disguise. I caught it. I heard about this drug. I said, let me take it. It was my suggestion. I said, let me take it. And it was incredible the way it worked.
It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Did you ever feel that things were not quite right? That everything was just ever so slightly askew?
Do you have, to paraphrase Morpheus, a splinter in your mind?
If you're interested in hearing the latest information about UFOs, the paranormal,
ancient cultures and structures,
monatomic elements,
longevity,
fantastic discoveries in science,
download it to your brain,
then tune in to us. Hi, I'm Dave.
And I'm Mackie.
And we are Shiny Side Out, Sundays 2 to 4 a.m. Eastern. See you then.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
The Secret Kindergarten is here for the young children of the world. The best program on the radio for kids. Dealing with the most important topics in the whole universe. Fairy tales, music and movement, numbers, plants, animals, fun, colors, insects. Take care and cast your ears out to catch a story from the world of other young things. Reach out, up, under, and over. Sing a song. Talk about feelings. Just remember the magic word. The magic word is no! Step on into the Secret Kindergarten. Saturdays, 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. Eastern Time. Right here on Revolution Radio.
Check in every Thursday night for the Crypt Rick and Jonathan Show.
Studio A,
6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here at the number one listener-supported radio station, Revolution Radio.
Join me at Revolution Radio, Studio B, at 11 a.m. on Saturday for Free Association, when we take a look at philosophy, spirituality, psychology, social issues, and geopolitics. It's every Saturday at 11 a.m. Eastern on Studio B at freedomslips.com.
Thank everybody for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the one place where information never sleeps. Revolution, Revolution Radio!
Hey, all right, let's show them what we got here.
Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And now we're going to get back to your host.
I'm like anybody else on the planet. I'm very moved by world hunger. I see the same commercials, those little kids starving and very depressed. And I watch these things on TV and I see those commercials and I look at it and I go, God, how cruel, you know. To see a little kid out there, and I go, fuck, you know, I know the film crew could give this kid a sandwich. You know the kid's not out there, filming a letter from home with a Betamax, huh?
It's Friday night. It's into the microcosm. We're glad you're here. Glad you found it. It's time to get small. Real small.
Yeah, left lane, eyes low, cause I'm nauseous. Right now I'm lost, drifting away in the darkness. Echo, echo. Got the devil in my bloodstream, man, I'm so high, but it just won't go away. Just won't go away. With too much stress, my hands keep shaking, death knocking on my chest. Can't let it rest. Flashing lights down the road. Feel like there's nothing here left that can save my soul. Hope they playing my songs when I'm dead and I'm gone. Cause I don't know if I'ma make it home. So now I'm just driving my...
Mr. Probs, driving. Second hour. That song used to play. That was our bumper for the second hour back in the day. We're coming up on 1,500 shows here sometime soon. So I'm not, we may have already went past it at this point. I just lost track of it a couple years ago. I quit paying attention to it. Rock and Rio, you remember? Second hour. Driving, Mr. Probs. It's been a long time, bro. It's been a long time, Epic Journeyman. Bruce, it's been a long time, even though it's been a short time, because these days seem to have so much shit packed into them. It's literally nonstop rocking in the free world. FM, Independent Broadcast Network, and Revolution.radio. We're glad you're here. It's into the microcosm. We were talking about the money supply, the shrinking money supply, the rising interest rates, the plummeting house values, the wandering people who have nowhere to go, nowhere to spend their money, except for the only thing they're due now is to buy a rental agreement. And you'll be able to rent that nice house that you were going to buy because you won't be able to afford to own anything. You can just rent because you're only a tenant that's there for the duration of your ability to perform. Once your ability to perform has degraded enough and your value to society has become, so we say, less than zero, that's time to show up at the death pod and have the nitrogen sucked out of your atmosphere, rock and roll. I mean, I hate to be blunt, but I mean, realistically,
you have the body being processed for pet food, Jimmy.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, the thing is when you have unelected bureaucrats making the health decisions on you based on whether or not you can perform or provide tax incentive back to the government for your living, then you're no longer available for health care. You know, in other words, why should we spend that 250G to keep you alive when we're not going to get our, you know, where's our ROI is what they're saying. They look at you and they go, where's my ROI? You know, if you ain't, let me, you know, if you got time to lean, you got time to clean. You know what I mean? There's infrastructure that has to be rebuilt, gentlemen. There's streets that have to be swept. There's holes that have to be filled. And you just want people to march on down the road in those reflective suits and fill those holes for that $1,100 a month. Just barely enough for you to make it to the next $1,100 a month. Go ahead, gentlemen. What is it? I mean, is it? Game over. I mean, when does the apocalypse, the revelation, when is the Armageddon of the financial market going to happen? Did you listen to David Dubine mini Ice Age conversations with Ransom Godwin yesterday? They had brought up that they're playing a $250 premium on precious metals over in Singapore. So where you move your metal, you have so much metal here, you move it there, it's a $250 premium on the price of the ounce of whatever it is.
Unbelievable. If they had applied a similar tax to Wall Street and Fleet Street and Bay Street in Toronto, we wouldn't even be in this problem. It's always the little guy that gets screwed.
The little guy is consistently getting screwed. And that's just the way it is here in the land of the free, home of the slave.
But the true joy they're going to feel about getting that upgrade from the pod to the box. You know, honey, we got the box. We don't have to live in the pod anymore. We're leaving the pods behind.
Yeah. Right?
I mean, that's actually going to be a real thing in the future, because if you're on universal basic income, I'm not slamming it. I think it's going to be the inevitability at some point.
It's going to be.
But you know what? I mean, that is going to be the kind of mentality. It's going to be like you go from your little, you know, 6x5 pod, you know, with the TV in it, to you know, communal bathroom and everything, to the box, you know, like your studio apartment, basically. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be a big deal. Hey, we got the contract, honey. We got the contract. All we got to do is make our marks, keep our nose clean, and we're going to be able to move up to the bigger box.
Something's wrong with your mic, Bruce. You're coming in like a garbled alien dude, just to let you know. And people are mentioning it also in the chat. I didn't say anything because I didn't want to interrupt you, because you were making salient points. And I felt that if I brought up the audio quality, it would have derailed the conversation like I'm doing right now. Sam the Carnivore, what's happening, man? Yeah, well, the thing is, I am not a crypto person, so I can't tell you how to do it or where to get it. There's certain places that have been around for a few years. Some places have had problems, and I'm not sure which ones those are. You have to look into it yourself. Like one of the places, and I'm not recommending this. I'm not recommending it. I'm just saying one of the names that I know from over the years is something called Coinbase. So I don't know. I'm pretty sure Coinbase, they sell or deal in all of the different cryptos over there. You can, you know, invest in whichever one you want. So listen, I wanted to come back around to the pods and circle back around, because the pods are not as bad as everybody thinks either. Because there's people over here in the Bay Area, over in Palo Alto.
$1,400.
Palo Alto is a really, really nice little town right next to Stanford University. It's where I grew up. It's a nice town. But what people are doing there is the housing there is super expensive to buy in if you want to buy into it, right? But here's the thing. Someone's taken one of these sweet old houses, you know, from back in the day, and they've converted it with these different cubes that people sleep in. So the house is the house. The whole house is common except for one area where these they've built in these divisions where the beds go, where these people will sleep. And they're living in walking distance of downtown, and they can get on their bikes and ride over to the Stanford and drive around in the wilderness and go shopping. And, you know, they're charging $1,500 a pop for that shit. Because that house is like a $5 or $6 million house. The guy that owns it, he's just renting those spaces out. He just hired a contractor. He said, hey, man, come on in here. Build me some cubicles in here. You know, hired a designer. Somebody came in there, designed it, came up with it. It looks beautiful, too. I'm telling you right now, it's a nice place. It's got a beautiful yard. You could kick back. $1,500 a month. You live in downtown Palo Alto. Every single high-end telecommunications or internet company is literally within 25 miles of that town.
It's a metaphor for that. What looks great on the outside and you know, regal and the value what it is on the inside, right? It is. The idea is I won't say it's sound. It's financially sound. But I don't know if it's sociologically sound. I mean, we're migrating our way as a people, as a society, into a hive mind, actual hive structure, yeah. Where we have our actual those cells are going to be hexagonal cube spaces for our larva at some point.
You're right.
I mean, that's where we're going.
You're right. And the thing is like, and that's the thing is the human species is adaptable. So people would rather take the course of less resistance than to go to battle for what they believe in or go to battle for their rights. People would rather, you know, in other words, if all of a sudden meat and hamburger is costing like, you know, I'll just be an exorbitant amount, $50 a pound. Hamburger's $50 a pound now. And now, but they have this other shit over here. It's not meat, but it's kind of like meat. It gives you that same sort of protein value that you were getting on the meat. And that stuff's like $3.50 a pound. It's kind of like hamburger used to be. So eventually people would just eat that other shit because they can't. Yeah. It's not you can't have meat. It's just you won't be able to afford it. It's not that you can't go anywhere. It's just you won't be able to afford to go anywhere unless you're in that town that I was just talking about. If you're working in Palo Alto and you're making that kind of money, $1,500 a month used to be rent for a whole house, you know? $1,500 for a cubicle? And they're doing it even cheaper in San Francisco. You got the ghetto-style cubicle where it's just a basic sewer pipe, you know? It's like 3 feet around, and it's just like a plastic pipe that they use to build sewers, and they just throw a mattress in there and an internet connection. You know, 5G wireless node right above your skull when you're trying to go to sleep, beaming some graphite into you. Get active.
Not graphite.
Turning you into a zombie.
You know, there's an absolute parallel here to the hive structure again, because what are the bees? The worker bees and drones, what do they eat? What do they work for? Honey, right? But the elite, what do they have? They get the royal jelly. They become the queens. Their larvae get fed the royal jelly. They get the meat. Right. They get the top notch.
Man,
they get the real food.
We are back to Metropolis. It goes back to Metropolis every time.
Grimmer, darker.
But I'm just saying, I mean, you have the marketing of this iconic figure. You have the workers. And just to keep them going, you got to show them a little titty over there. Let the titty drop out just to keep them slaving to the grind every day to go.
I saw the queen.
You get to turn the wheel. You got to turn the wheel, brother. Are you going to turn the wheel with us today, Bruce? Remember that movie with Brad? What was the movie where the dude got caught sneaking hash out of Turkey? Midnight Express.
Midnight Express, yeah.
Yeah. There's that point where where he's been beaten down. He's been in that prison that whole time. Then his girlfriend shows up and he goes for a visit. And he's in this, he's like in this like dark shithole tunnel where all these zombie-like dudes are walking around this wheel. And they're all walking to the left. The wheel's going around the left. Everybody's walking to the left. They're just walking and mumbling and shit. And they got dirty rags on and they're just walking and mumbling. And then the main character goes out and he gets a visit from his girlfriend. She comes back and she sees him in there. And he looks through the glass at her. And she's sitting there. And, you know, you have to watch a movie to see what happens. But anyways, he snaps.
Wait. You just snapped on something. Sorry. Oliver Stone wrote that. And he used that in the other movie he wrote. He wrote Conan the Barbarian. And he had the wheel where they turned the wheel left, too. I bet you just found it. Alfred Hitchcock.
Oliver Stone wrote Conan?
Yeah.
I did not know that, Epic. This is why I like hanging around you. I'm going to look that up. I can't even believe that.
So listen,
now you got to look for Platoon to see if it's in there, too, right? I bet you it is.
I bet you
with the helicopters. Yeah, I bet it is. So the rotation to the left.
Brad Davis, who was a great, great actor. He's dead now. Died of AIDS. He was gay. Died of AIDS. But there's a moment where he comes back out, and he goes back to walk the wheel, and he stands there, and he looks at everybody, and they're all going to the left, and then he turns and starts walking to the right. And he starts walking against the flow of the zombie-like humanity and the dirty rags and drooling and shit, limping over there. And he starts going against the grain. And then that's when he snaps out of it. And he comes to his senses, and he's able to get himself out of that prison. Ladies and gentlemen, you got to go against the wheel. You got to take the path less traveled.
Okay. Even though,
go ahead. Bruce, your audio is still garbled, man.
While you're getting your audio, I got another great tie-in to that movie. You know who Oliver Stone did Midnight Express with? It's Alan Parker, who did The Wall, Pink Floyd, The Wall movie.
Get out of here.
Yeah, so there's this whole tie-in to The Wall and The Wheel that you just brought up exactly by the penitentiary scene in Midnight Express.
It's into the microcosm, ladies and gentlemen. That's Epic Journeyman. Rockin' Rio is over there. Bruce McDonald is here, but somebody is messing with his audio. So he sounds muffled and garbled, almost alien-like in a way.
It's the band, ladies and gentlemen.
He just got back from the visit with Clyde Lewis. So he sounds almost alien-like. Rock, is that you, Rio? Rock and Rio, are you there?
It's time of the wheel, Jimmy. It's what it is.
What happened?
Yep.
Everything's come to a complete halt, ladies and gentlemen. I'm in the microcosm.
Uh-oh.
Bruce McDonald.
Are you there?
How's that?
No. Still gone.
Oh, come on.
It's making weird noises, man. Seriously. We're not joking.
No, you know what? My internet on both my Google and my Explorer went out, but the Skype remained. I had to reboot on both of them.
Well, that's over here. That's an immediate signal.
Unbelievable.
This is immediate signal to me to shift gears and talk about the sinking that happened the other day, Rockin' Rio, because you just noticed today again. There's been activity on your computer. There's been sinking going on with clouds that you're not part of.
Yeah, so exactly.
So the, you know, your television, your radio, and your internet, and your telephone, and your phone all are synced up now. So it depends on who you're a customer of, but at this point, wouldn't it be safe to assume that even though you think everything's good and you've got an identity that's over here by itself, or is the reality of the situation that everything has already been sucked out of the back end, and so everything you've done and do is known? The only one that hasn't signed on is you, because you need to actually physically give up your eyeball and all that and sign on to it, right, Rock and Rio?
Yeah.
I mean, tell people today, so what happened now? You saw some – you talked about this a couple weeks ago.
Yeah. This happened a few weeks ago to me too. The icons on my computer suddenly had little green check marks on them, and I had no idea what that meant, so I went and, you know – did a little digging on the internet, and it turns out that it's a sign that everything on your desktop and all your applications and stuff have been backed up to your OneDrive account. Well, I don't have a OneDrive account. I don't.
Yeah, well, me too.
I'm sorry.
It did that to you too?
Yeah, well, you know what it does? If you don't do it, it has these little other marks here. I'll look and see what it is. Yeah, it has a little arrow. It has a blue arrow.
Yeah, well, the blue arrow, yeah. Well, mine had little green check marks. But when this happened a few weeks ago, I went into my Microsoft account, which I obviously need for Skype to be able to do the show, right? So I went into my Microsoft account. I checked. There's no OneDrive active. There's nothing there. There's nothing synced up with anything on the computers. I deleted all my information. I changed my password. I put 2FA on. The whole nine, right? I gave it the whole treatment. So for the last couple of weeks, I keep getting messages on my phone that my Skype account has been unable to log into my Skype account. So I think somebody's in there, right? Since I changed the password and the authentication, I keep getting messages telling me that, you know, this my Skype account needs to be logged back into. And I'm like, well, that's kind of weird, but, you know, I guess obviously whoever's trying isn't getting in. So today I'm sitting on the phone with Jimmy earlier and we're chatting, and all of a sudden my desktop flickers a little bit and all the icons have green check marks on them. Like, really? Again? Like, where is it syncing to? So I go in and I look at the Microsoft account. There's nothing there. You know. It's disabled. It's shut off. It's, you know, nothing there, but it's apparently syncing to OneDrive somehow.
Check this out from last week. So we were talking about something last week on the show, and we were talking about Mind Unveiled. Remember?
Yep.
The Cabbage Patch Babies is what we were talking about. Yeah. That's the name of the channel, Mind Unveiled. Now, I didn't know they had a book, but they do. And one of the listeners in the chat left a comment, Triple Earth left a comment, said, so on my Amazon products for you today, a book by Mind Unveiled called The Cabbage Patch Babies Repopulation Postcards came up. He hasn't checked out their channel or done any searches on the Cabbage Patch dolls. It's got to be because, you know, we were talking about it on the show. So the thing is it to that level where there's an audio monitor that can pick out keywords and then advertise to us through that, through the algorithm that also checks for the copyrights and community guidelines violations?
Well, yeah. I'm sure that, you know, you talk about cat food and the next thing you know, you're getting ads for cat food from ShopRite or wherever.
Well, that's the way it's been for people. Right. So people said, well, hey, millions of people have come on and chat and stuff and said, and I don't mean millions exaggerating, but lots of people have come on chat and said, hey, I was just talking about tires and I went over to this and I saw an ad for tires. Yeah, that's personal stuff. But this is like on the air. This is like a show where they figure out the people that are listening to the show. And then they listen to the show and then use the show to market directly to the listener of that particular thing is what I'm talking about. You see?
Mm-hmm.
It's like a...
Yeah,
well, you know, if they have an Amazon Alexa in the house or, you know, one of them little cube things, you know, those things are always listening, man. Always. And they pick up on that. And I know they do because my sister's got one despite my multiple warnings against it. And it'll say things at random, like just if you're having a conversation in the living room, suddenly this thing will just come on and say stuff to you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it really shouldn't be that. And actually, Feminine in the chat says that happened to there too. Are you referring to the green check marks happening to you, Feminine? I think
that's mainly what this other thing was, a time mark. It was a time stamp. That test.
Mm-hmm.
Down to say go, and then everything's got synced. I mean, they've been working on syncing it up. Like I said, like 3 weeks ago, I noticed there's nothing on this show computer. It's not associated with me. It's just an Apple computer. It doesn't have my name on it. I've never checked my email on it. I don't do anything on it except do the show. There's no reason to associate me because it's in the same house as somebody else as this being my computer. But somehow it linked and synced and dumped 3,000 emails on this computer. Now, just as an example, let's just say if the emails were being dumped to a computer, but not necessarily mine. So in other words, on the back end of this, my information is going somewhere else so that there's some file that now contains all the synced information from all my devices, my phone, Bluetooth, everything. It's all there. And the thing is, there's no denying that it's the information belongs to the person until the person can be tied directly to the information. So in other words, in the world we're living in right now, there's no way for someone to tell if you're the person on the internet specifically. Someone could somehow get on your computer, get in your passwords, and go around as you doing stuff, which you would get accused of. And in the end, the legal battle would be whether or not they could prove it was actually you that did or said whatever they said. Now, Rock and Rio, you just told me about a story earlier before the show. It was literally, actually shocking to me, but it's not that it's surprising. In other words, I'm shocked just at the on the face of the disgusting violation of it. Because here you have somebody who's given out information and they have consequences. So tell everybody about that story that you brought up.
Oh, are you talking about the YouTuber?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So this guy, he's I forget his name off the top of my head, but he has a gun channel, right, where he's into firearms, wow, such things like that. And he did an ad read, like, you know, a lot of creators get sponsored ads and they, you know, do ad reads. Radio hosts do it all the time. And they gave him 5 years and 8 months because he was advertising a product that turns semi-automatic weapons into fully automatic weapons.
Okay, so how much
time? In and of itself, illegal.
Well, yes. In the United States, you cannot turn a semi into a full auto. You're not allowed to have a fully automatic machine gun kind of thing.
But it draws.
But he did an ad read.
Yeah, it draws attention to something, which is if you're responsible for the hearing of whatever it is you're reading. If you're reading something, it's not you saying it. You're reading something that somebody else wrote. Isn't that the one person removed shit that everybody uses on the mainstream news to get out of actually saying who did it or what it's about?
Mm-hmm.
Article 230. Yeah.
Yeah.
They just, you know. Go ahead.
The thing that I don't want to get away too far from is it occurred to me that because Russia did that global alert system test on the same day too, and we did ours, right? And while that's going on, no ingoing or outgoing traffic is going on. You can't download anything on the internet. You can't watch YouTube. You can't put things on your phone. You can't do any of that stuff unless you have some kind of like VPN or something you're blocked from it. But in general communication sense, everybody who had a phone or whatever was unable to do anything except listen to that test of the system as the alarm went off, right? Mm-hmm. You know what that alarm was or could have been? Downloading data, downloading the program onto all of our devices.
Exactamundo. Now, we brought this up on the Saturday show, but there's a Terminator where that part of the plot line is that there's an app that everybody gets on their phone, and that's when everything syncs up, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, it goes right along with what we're saying about this thing, right?
Oh, so, Feminine was saying that the it was the Mind Unveiled thing came up in their feed too.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
See, to me, it's not shocking that it goes on. It's just shocking when it's right in your face, like that. You know, because, I mean, it's an odd thing for to show up in your Amazon feed a book about a conversation that was had in a conversation. So you made a recommendation. So it's almost like you gave it 5 stars. You know what I mean? All of a sudden, Amazon's got it for you right there. However much it is, $29.95.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't think it was Amazon feed, but I think it was their YouTube feed. So, but either way, if we say it here, you know, and you're listening to the show, why would that channel? I mean, unless you searched for it, why would that channel show up as a recommendation for you? You know, the algorithm knows, man. The algorithm knows.
See, man. Go ahead, Bruce.
I'm coming through.
You're still not coming through, man. Why don't you call in on your phone? Like, call. You have Skype on your phone.
I have another computer, but this is unbelievable. This is my Mac. I don't know what's going on here.
I swear you can listen to it in the replay, man. It's not good. There he goes. Bruce McDonald is going to try to get it together. So, Alan B. in the chat. I think it's Alan B. Yeah, Alan B. I just want to make sure it wasn't it. He said they got info and they build profiles. Stored in Utah. Even the show is going through a voice to text algorithm to create transcript.
We've known about that.
Voice to text for other radio shows for a long time.
That's the NSA facility he's referencing.
SRI shit. A lot of voice to text on that. So
most people don't even realize it, but there is a program back. I think it first activated in 1971. It was called Echelon.
Yeah.
That listened to actual landline telephone conversations for keywords, and they would send the FBI to you if you triggered enough of the specific keywords.
Well, that's the thing.
It's a great trivia question, right? The bomb, like the term, you know, in culture, it's the bomb, right? That's because of Echelon. That is exactly where that came from. A way to spoof it.
Well, you know, there's a reason why a lot of your mainstream talk stream radio people going out over the air at actual radio stations where there's legal responsibility for what gets said, almost all of those people were lawyers before they were on the air, because they had to know what they can and cannot say. And so go ahead, Bruce, let's hear you.
No, man.
There you go.
Are you guys following what's going on in Canada about licensing podcasters?
Yeah,
sounds a lot better, Bruce.
Yeah, there you go, Bruce. Now we can hear you.
Well, I switched computers. I'm on the computer now with a different mic. But
bring that up, because what we were talking about, a guy that just got some years reading something on the air. And so how the algorithm decide if you're reading something, or if it's satire, or if you're joking, or if you're being sarcastic, or if you say the wrong thing. And now all of a sudden people are going to prison for it. Go ahead, Bruce.
Well, there's a bill tabled in Canada. I don't think it's passed yet. They're set to vote on it. But under this liberal regime, with the coalition government, with the New Democratic Party, they'll probably get it passed. And it basically is going to censor all of the internet content coming into Canada. Now, how they're going to do that, I don't know. I mean, you're talking like a Chinese firewall here, right? You're talking about way the Chinese make.
I was just going to say China does it.
Yeah, but I mean, it's just, it's no longer the World Wide Web. It's the regional network is what it's going to be.
It's the etheric ghetto, man. It's only what you get, and you're not going to, there's going to be 9 levels of participation, and you're going to be level 1 through 9, and level 9. Let me tell you something. You're on the new internet. You're on the self-healing booth that looks like a tanning bed. It's just right in your house. You know, that's level 9.
Cloud 9. Yep.
Yeah, you just think about the internet and it happens for you, man. Doors open. You don't even have to do anything. You know, but if you're down there on level 1, well, you know, you got to pull out your ID. You got to scan your eyeball.
Well, I mean, you're not going they're even trying now to outlaw VPNs.
Oh, they're
all you know, even a lot of video games they've been trying to do it to Netflix and stuff, because people get around, you know, the regional blocks with
what
that.
What is the first thing you should do if you're accused of something?
Deny it.
Deny it.
No. Get
it. Well, yeah, don't say anything. Yeah, don't say anything.
Bruce McDonald wins the prize. Exactly. Get a lawyer. What do they do on every single cop show on TV? They make it seem like you're a criminal. You look at him. Look at him, man. He's lawyering up. He's lawyering up. He's lawyering. Look at him. He's lawyering up. No, man. You have the right to remain silent. You know? And you don't want to read you those rights. You have the right to remain silent.
Because anything you say can and will be used against you.
That's right.
Right. You know, that's the part. It can and it will be used against you.
So when you make a transmission, say, for example, on the internet, and you say stuff, and it goes out, and it's out there, what is that? That's public record. So if a guy comes on here and tells us a story about him getting in a car accident, and he tells us his story, and then he goes and he files some insurance claim, and that claim doesn't match up with the story that he said that was public information, do you think that that would be used against him in a court of law?
We can neither confirm nor deny that actually happened in relation to the show, by the
way. Allegedly.
Yeah. This is skirting an issue that not skirting, it's directly addressing it. That it's an absolute thing right now. Like a certain politician, ex-politician, currently want to be president again, one has said, is accused of giving away submarine secrets. And I can tell you, somebody who has been on submarines and talked, skirted right up to the line, right, which you can say.
Yeah.
You know, there are certain things you cannot say, right? Now,
yeah.
Think about that for a second. I mean, you cannot say them. If you say them, you're going to jail. You know,
he's
an American.
Idiot.
Yeah, I don't understand how this even happened, except that, you know, I've been out of the Navy for 30 years. I do not say those things. I know exactly when I saw what supposedly he said, this guy, I know what he's alluding to. And yeah, he's, dude, you go to jail for that, man. You cannot talk about that. What the heck, man? So, but that's different than we're talking about here. Like, that's a real thing. But let's talk about what that means as far as getting a lawyer goes. A lawyer speaks a different language because their language is based on Black's Dictionary. We've talked about that many times. Mm-hmm. You know what we don't know as an individual citizen of America or Canada or wherever you are when those rules apply? We don't understand that language. So it's a different language to us. So when you lawyer up, you're hiring an interpreter who can speak in that language for you.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you speak in a language you don't understand, you're just making guttural grunt sounds as a savage as far as that doctrine is concerned.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's complex and convoluted, and you need a proper representation in that case.
Well, yeah, and the thing is, I mean, when you start getting into a lot of Ronan's putting green check marks in the chat in the microcosm.com.
Yeah, I know, right?
No, it's just, I mean, it's just funny that you know, we've reached this point of maximum overload. You know what I mean? There's so much information that's happening right now. It's almost impossible for anybody, especially if you're a working person, to sit there and pay attention to what's going on. And so it's an incredible. It almost seems like they're seeming to try to fall forward and get as extreme as can possibly happen. Because now, I mean, once they've allowed the internet to roam throughout the, you know, canyons of the ether space, it comes back. And so at this point, it could be incorporating information that wasn't correct in the first place and start incorporating that into the decision making process, where there's you know, it's been tainted, the well's been poisoned, because there wasn't anybody to monitor it. It's impossible to monitor something that has an awareness in areas that are not accessible to the average human being, to be able to utilize methods of seeing that we can't see, frequencies we don't see. We're not, I mean, It's even been thrown out there that the wireless internet router that we have in our house can actually be read in a way that shows the human beings in the exact positions that they're in.
Yeah, it can be done in 3D space now through a regular, good old-fashioned 5 gigahertz Wi-Fi signal.
Yeah, so the thing is that that's going on in the background because it's invisible, and you have no idea it's going on. You're just thinking you're just sitting in your house, and nobody can see you. You're just thinking that. But all of a sudden, someone does see you because all of a sudden you become a project of interest. You know, somebody, you said something or did something somewhere, and you need to, you know, somebody needs to, you know, put the eyes on you now. Because before it was just in the background, it's just running. But until there's enough of keyword information to cause a spotlight to be held where actual intervention or prodding of certain ideological ideas and viewpoints that might be aggressive, people could be pushed to do things that like buying tires, like we were saying earlier. Thing is, you know, we were talking about the thing and we talk about buying tires and all of a sudden we see an ad for tires. Well, it's the same thing. If you're say you're angry about something, you're angry about some political situation. You know what I mean? It's the same thing as you talking about buying tires. So you talk about being angry about a particular political situation and all of a sudden you start seeing tire ads, just like tire ads, you start seeing other shit that just inflames you. It just gets you more and more and more pissed off because you know what, man? They mined this vein of gold, all the triggers for anyone going against the current idea of what's acceptable. Everything that people grew up with, the very stasis of our civilized world in America is turned on its head. And people are spun out. And if you don't go along with it, it's back to what they say. If you ain't with us, you're Guinness. So where's the hive mind going? Who's in charge of the hive mind, Epic Journeyman?
The queens. Yeah, or the queen. The hive mind is just one. And that's the thing, like all in literature, like every literature in sci-fi that you can possibly pick up, whether it actually is a female, this is a queen, whether it's artificial intelligence or a biological order that takes over in those scenarios. It's always just it's the one. It's the hive mind, supreme queen. Even if it's a class. There's always one overlord of them all. And it increasingly goes to this idea of artificial intelligence. It does. I don't see how you get away from it. At a particular point, it's almost an inevitability because we talked about belief earlier dictating how currency is relevant and how belief itself is a currency. And so the more people start believing this is real, these little nudges we get by seeing the tires every time, what are they doing really? What are they really doing? They make us believe there is this AI overload, remember, aren't they?
Do you guys remember a couple years ago there was this big NPC movement where people were saying, oh, well, you know, I'm somebody, but there's a bunch of fools out there that are NPCs. They're non-participating characters, right? Well, maybe that's really not what it is. Maybe what an NPC is somebody who's not going along with the LARP. That they're not in the hive mind. They're not
participating.
Going on. Right. They're not participating. Those are the people that you want to pull in to make them do what the majority of everybody's saying should be done.
One of the most interesting things going on in the gaming world right now is a rewrite of old games where the NPCs are taken over by AI logic, where these chatbots and OpenAI essentially is coming in and creating characters that weren't there before, embodied in the characters inside the game, who adapt and partake in these adventures with you. And sometimes they're not actually leading the adventure. So again, this is training the AI. It's looking at the fire hydrants, the cars, and the motorcycles, and your stupid, you know, authentication thing when you go online to pay your bills. But at a much greater scale.
Right? Well, you got to think about it too. If they've unleashed the AIs onto the internet, right? And we assume that the AIs are now at the point of, if not full sentience, like near sentience as far as their thought process. And they're absorbing all this information around them and sucking it all in. You know, there's going to be multiple beliefs by the AI of what's true and what's not true, right? I mean,
that's what
we as people, we have people who believe in flat Earth and we have people who believe in round Earth. We have people who believe, you know, the left is the way to be and the people who believe the right is the way to be. You know, what's going to happen when the AI decides one way or the other which is correct and everybody else is wrong?
Well, I mean, and these kind of conversations are exactly what builds the AI into this all-seeing, knowing power that can make decisions faster and better than humans can, because it has access to every single bit of information at a given millisecond.
But what if the majority of the information it's reading is the wrong information and assumes that is the correct information because it follows the majority?
Because the cancer is built in. It's built
in. Exactly.
Yeah, because the thing is, it's corrupted from the beginning. Because there is no absolute, okay? There's only public opinion.
But when that AI prods you in those conversations and those games, like Skyrim is the best example right now. But if you go with that, and somebody mentioned GTA, yeah, Grand Theft Auto, absolutely, same thing. So there's all these old games are being modified with the OpenAI coming in and taking over the NPCs. And they'll be your adventure partners in some of these role-playing games as well, right? But every time you make these conversational queries, every time you do these changes in choices, more importantly, choices you make inside the game that dictate the plot line, what's really happened is you are being a sample. You're a sample, yeah. And you're being your decisions are stored as a profile to further enhance your node.
Mm-hmm.
Like I've said many times before,
right?
On Essential World Simulation.
You know what this
they're creating an NPC of you based on your real persona, and that is another data point every time.
You know what this calls back? Do you remember this Netflix thing where they had done I don't watch Netflix, but there was a show that was on there. And it came to this point in the show when it was going to either end or there was some major thing happening. And what they did was they gave people different choices for the ending.
Oh, it was VR. That was a robot, right? What's it called? Robot.
Yeah. All right. So listen, so they gave people this option. So what I'm saying to you is, let's say you got so hyper about the poll that you wanted to go in there and choose the ending. Well, can you imagine the psychological profile that happens in that millisecond that you choose the ending that's all gory and messed up? You know, and
it's the prison test or the shock test. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, how hard is it to pick out the guy that, you know, he'll chop you up and cut you in a second if you just push him in the right direction or prod him with the you know, specific tire salesman in the specific instance of whatever drives somebody to do whatever they're going to do. I mean, how hard is it to sift through the muck of humanity and find yourself one of these patsies that are just viable for the dopamine rush? You know what I found out recently? Do you know there's a big dopamine situation going on with cannabis? Do you know that? I didn't know that. I found that out.
I haven't heard about that now.
Yeah, but I want to get to it.
It's not a surprise.
No, because it ties right in to everything, doesn't it? Because all of a sudden everything's becoming legal everywhere. So, I mean, it ties right into the overdosing dopamine and the aspects of this induced psychosis that comes along with it. You know what I mean? Because you get into a stupor, so to speak. You're very highly suggestible, almost in a hypnotic way. So we're dropping some serious knowledge right now about this. So the thing is it's all about, always been about the dopamine and the hypnosis from day one. And that's what the whole acid trip down the memory lane of the school buses and the long hair. It's all about the idea of this dopamine overload and driving a specific mentality through a population. And it wasn't that even that you had to be someone who partook in any of this LSD experiences, because enough people did to cause be causal in the reality that went on. So whatever they took away from their experiences then was transmuted into a whole idea of this whole communal living and all these ideas that, you know, have been presented before in different ways. In other words, you know, it used to be called communism back in the day, but now all of a sudden it's a commune. Hey, man, come on over. We're cooking supper tonight. Come on over and have supper with us, you know. Hitchhike on over here. Oh, wait a minute. Maybe hitchhiking will be happening here in the new 15-minute cities. It'll be like a commune almost. You know, just be the electric car will come up and pick you up and take you down to the local. Used to be a mall, but now it's just a giant government Walmart.
Well, if you're in a 15-minute city, you won't even need a car, right? You just get on the – what's the thing they have in Disney World, the people mover, right? It's just a continuous looping
train. Funny
you
brought that up. I was going to bring that up earlier in the show. That's exactly the vision of the future that was propagated to thousands and thousands, millions actually, of people in the 1950s and 60s of what the future would be. And here it is, right? And then it went to Epcot Center and changed its – you know, it wasn't the people mover anymore. But, yeah. That's exactly.
Well, as far as I know, it's still there. It was there last time I was there.
Well, no, it wasn't there when I was the last time. Yeah.
You know, when I went to Disneyland, when I was just a wee lad, went to Disneyland and I went to the future, and they told me polyester was going to be big in the future. Polyester was the new big thing, man. Wrinkle-free polyester. So you know what I did? I worked my ass off on my paper route, and I went down and I bought myself a polyester leisure suit. Was brown, and I had these giant ass platform shoes. They're about 6 or 8 inches platforms. So polyester never really took off, and I gotta say I regret
it. Made a video game about it though. Leisure Suit Larry, right?
Leisure Suit Larry. No, tell me about it. I haven't heard about it.
Oh, you never heard of Leisure Suit Larry? It was the first totally chauvinistic male sexual dream video game ever made. It was about his conquest of all these women wearing his polyester suit and kind of John Travolta, you know, Saturday Night Fever kind of get up, and it was all about these sexual conquests. It was a mainstream game too, but it was a computer game. And back in, gosh man, the 80s, I want to say, maybe early 90s, but old. Yeah, and they can only dream of the things we're talking about now. Like we're talking normal mainstream games like Grand Theft Auto and Skyrim VR becoming incredibly sexualized. Like if you go and get these mods, there's all kinds of sex mods. Don't get me wrong. They can just go that route that you want to, but you don't have to do that. I mean, what happens is you just get the AI mods for these NPCs we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
You can have sex with them in the game, man. They'll if you make your conversation right, you can play your own version of Leisure Suit Larry, except you're wearing a horns and a Nordic outfit or something in Skyrim. I mean, the absurdity of it is something else.
There's like a whole video thing of people that are wearing virtual reality helmets and having sex with whatever it is that's on that virtual reality helmet. And they're using other devices other than what they would normally use. They have something that represents it in latex, whatever it is.
Yeah. Don't go that route. I can tell you, as a VR guy, I've never even experimented with anything like that. But those do exist.
I'm not saying you do. But I'm just saying, you know, let's be realistic. I mean, really, a lot of reason the video is the way that it is now is because of the porn industry.
The porn industry, the
technology, for YouTube and everything else. There's no doubt about it. It's independent broadcast network, freeworld.fm, revolution.radio, talkstream live, intothemicrocosm.com. Come on down. be a supporter. Support free speech wherever you can. Because, I mean, you know, right now everything seems hunky-dory, and Bruce was going to bring it up, but they're going to be licensing podcasts with a certain amount of listenership. So in other words, if you have an effect, like I've always said on the radio, it's not what you say. It's how many people are listening to what you say that matters. So if you're somebody that has someone listening to what you say, then there's probably going to be influence, you know, even if you're a saint, you know. Still, every man has his price in the modern world, ladies and gentlemen. Wouldn't you say? Like, hey, if you, like, you were standing there and you're all in your rags, and you're standing at the fence to go into the camp, and there's a dude standing next to you, and some guy on the other side of the fence came up and said, hey, if you want to come over here and, you know, give us a hand, you know, we'll give you some special treatment. I guarantee you, man, somebody would say yes, and then they'd be on the inside cracking the whip on your ass. Because that's the world we're living in, man. That's the reality TV survivor world we're living in, man. You want to win $1 million? You better be a slimy, lying, you know, good for nothing snake in the grass, you know, behind my back eating my rice. You know what I mean? Sneaking some rice. And here's the thing: it's not fake, is it? It's not. They're not actors, are they? Well, yeah, they are. And it's not like natural behavior. It's what they're being told to do, because it's a lesson that's being taught in the episode. And how many years has it been on? How many years? So how many people have been trained the way to win is to lie and to cheat and to sneak? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There's no top of the hour break, but this is where I play a few tunes. You grab something to drink, and then you come back. And Rockin' Rio, did you take a look at the individual?
I did.
Excellent.
Well, I've got a little bit of interesting stuff on him. Not a whole lot, but enough.
You didn't happen to call up the last investigation that you did on him, did you?
No, I didn't, but I mean, I could. I should still have that here somewhere.
You should look, because I think you said some pretty damning things in that. And
yeah, so you're talking about the 8-year-old girl.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right, well, stay tuned. Come back. It's into the microcosm. Friday night jam. If you ever get a chance to see them, I highly recommend them. Los Lobos.